Plan B.
Now we're going to transition to something a little bit less eloquent. Wow, the church is Plan A, and there is no Plan B. That is something else. We are agents of reconciliation. So as I was at youth camp, God was reminding me that the Jesus who ministered to my spirit and the Jesus who ministered to the spirits of those young people is the same Jesus that ministered to the spirits of people 2,000 years ago, and the same Jesus that's ministering daily and setting people free. Daily. Darkness is losing. If you want to get really specific, we can say darkness has lost. We just, you know, we're just awaiting the day when darkness realizes it and stops. You know, darkness has lost. The kingdom of God advances. The kingdom of God is winning. The kingdom of God is moving forward. And so I was taking a look at some things after youth camp. I was processing some of what I was experiencing. And, you know, reiterate this, it hit me that the issues that we haven't changed all that much. I started listing some of the things that I think are, you know, fairly big societal issues that we tend to get really bent out of shape about. Politicians with questionable morals and agendas. Anybody ever frustrated by that? I am a lot. Tension between competing religious ideologies. People thinking that they're right about God and that everyone else is wrong, and we deserve to tell them that. Racial and cultural tension, which is getting highlighted for us regularly, more so than I've seen in years, really. Social unrest, incidences of violence in the streets, terrorist threats, things like that. These are all things that if we allowed them to, they could push us into a place of agreeing with fear. And we may, at one time or another, we may not be on guard, or, you know, we may be not conscious of how we're acting. And we may directly or indirectly kind of give in to that from time to time. But one of the things I feel like I'm supposed to say today, in light of events of the past, especially of the past year and a half, 2 years, there's, as we were talking in the men's meeting yesterday, we talked about this concept of facts versus truth, right? And yeah, there are facts that we could point to that if we allowed them to, would push us into a place of fear or agreeing with what the enemy is trying to get us to agree with. But there's something in us that God has planted in us that is of the truth, and it goes beyond fact. Yes, I can see that that is happening, but the truth that underlies all of that is that God is good, and that he has in mind blessing for his people, and he has in mind reconciliation for all to him. And so as I was thinking about the things that societally are challenges for us today, you know where I'm going with this. It dawns on me that societally they were challenges when Jesus was walking the earth. Religious intolerance. Jesus stepped right into that, right? Racial and cultural tension. Area of the world that he was ministering in physically was rife with tension between cultures and races that just could not get along. Questionable politicians whose moral base was way off. Jesus had to deal with a few of those. Tension between competing religious ideologies, violence in the streets, terrorism, all of these things. But no matter what time period we're living in, you look at the issues and they don't change all that much. And what I'm here to do this morning is to remind us all that the issues don't change much, but the solution doesn't change much either. The solution to these problems that plague us is still the same. It is still Jesus. It is still the Holy Spirit. It is still speaking the truth in love. And not the kind of speaking the truth in love when you tell somebody ahead of time, I need to tell you something in love, because then they know you're going to slam them, right? Talking about really speaking the truth in love and not not telegraphing your punch, like, this is going to be in love, so that they can brace themselves, right? See, we always think that the time period that we're living in is unique, and that the things that we're going through have never happened before. They're unprecedented, and we have no grid for any of this, but God doesn't change. He doesn't change. And the way that Jesus was operating when he was on the earth is the same way that he's operating today. Right? So we got to take a look at, turning a page, and we're going to get to Ephesians 4 at some point, I promise. So I started looking at, okay, well, Jesus, what was your mission then? When you were physically on the earth, what was your mission? Because now you're spiritually on the earth in my body with my brothers and sisters. And so the mission has to remain the same. So I'm just going to call out a couple things to you. Why did Jesus come here? John 18:37, he came to bear witness to the truth. John 6:38, he came to do the Father's will. John 10:10, he came to give people life and a life that was more abundant. John 12:46, he came as a light into the world that whoever believes in him should not live in darkness, but should live in light. That's why he came. Matthew 10:34-36, sounds a little harsh. He says, I came to divide. I came not to bring peace, but a sword. I came to divide. A household is going to be divided one against the other. But when we take a look at who Jesus is, that sword is the sword of truth. When you speak the truth, people have a choice of how they can react. And sometimes that tears families apart until they all come to the knowledge of the truth that Jesus is speaking to us. So we move then ahead into Luke 4:18. He came to anoint us by his Spirit to preach good news, to heal broken hearts, to proclaim liberty to captives, to proclaim recovery of sight to the blind, to free people who are oppressed. And then he tells us in Matthew 28:18-20, go, make disciples of nations. Go now. This is why Jesus came. This is his mission. His mission, let's skip now to Ephesians 4. Because these are little bits and pieces of the things that Jesus came to do and the things that are still our mission now, because he is still alive in us, still wanting to do the same things that he was wanting to do when he could physically move his own body around, which was probably a lot easier, right? It's much easier to walk yourself around than to try and, like, you know, force everybody else. Of course, he doesn't force us, but to gently encourage everyone else to get in step and move forward. Jesus has a tough job. We should probably make it easier on him. Ephesians 4. Let's look at verse 10. And I'll preface this. I am reading out of the easy-to-read version. It's a legitimate deal. It's the ERV. I think I mentioned this last time I was preaching. But I need all the help I can get. So Christ came down. This is verse 10. And he is the same one who went up. He went up above the highest heaven in order to fill everything with himself. There's nowhere you can go where Jesus isn't. Much as you want to run, as much as you want to hide, as much as you know, people say, oh, I just need to go someplace to find Jesus. Well, you can just stay right there. He's right there. You're not going anywhere, and it'll cost you a lot less just to stay in one place. And we're talking not only about physical place, but we're talking about time. Jesus is outside of time. Just follow a little rabbit trail. I don't want to run. You know, I don't want to run out of time, but I was thinking about this lately. He came to fill everything with himself. Jesus is outside of time. So what is your past is Jesus's right now. What is your present is his right now. The things that you're declaring in the Spirit, you're in the Spirit there now. And you're declaring things with your physical body that your physical body has to wait through time to catch up to. But when we declare things in the Spirit where Jesus is, it's established. Sometimes we just have to be patient and wait to see the manifestation of the thing that we declared in the Spirit 20 years ago. But rest assured, it's there. Because Jesus is outside of time, making all things work together for the good of those who love him. All things. Jesus is in your past, in the area where you thought, oh, I'm hurt, I'm never going to get over that. Well, Jesus is there. Ask him to heal it. He's in your past. He's in what you call your past right now, which Jesus calls Sunday. He's there. He's here in the moment. He's there in the next moments that you haven't even thought of yet, but he's there, preparing a way for you, protecting you, covering you, in order that you might know that you're loved and that you can shine that love out to other people. That was a rabbit trail. That was free. I'm not charging for that. So verse 11. And that was one of my plants in the audience. That same Christ gave these gifts to people. He made some to be apostles, some to be prophets, and some to go and tell the good news. He made some to care for and teach God's people. Christ gave these gifts to prepare God's holy people for the work of serving, to make the body of Christ stronger. This work must continue until we are all joined together in what we believe and in what we know about the Son of God. Our goal is to become like a full-grown man or a full-grown person. Our goal is to become mature, to look just like Christ and have all of his perfection and maturity. So his mission is to tell the truth, to do the Father's will, to give people an abundant life, to be a light, to anoint us to do all of the good works. But his motivation is, that's the stuff. What's the reason? The motivation we see in Ephesians 4. His motivation is unity. Why is he doing all this stuff? Why does it matter? Because he wants us all to be together. He's interested in unity. He's interested in oneness. He's interested in a collective of believers, not just a bunch of individuals doing whatever seems right to them in the moment and then arguing with each other because it's not what somebody else thought was right to do in that moment. He has something better for us than we could make a way for ourselves. The end game is unity. The end game is unity. And so, look in verse 14. Then we will no longer be like, in the ERV it says, like babies. We will no longer be babies. We won't be people who are always changing like a ship that the waves carry one way and then another. We won't be influenced by every new teaching we hear from people who are trying to trick us. Those who make clever plans and they use every kind of trick to fool others into following the wrong way. No. Pause for emphasis. We will speak the truth with love. We will grow to be like Christ in every way. He is the head, and the whole body depends upon him. All the parts of the body are joined and held together, with each part doing its own work. And this causes the whole body to grow and to be stronger in love. That pastor talks a lot about that. that headline he saw in the Inquirer that just said head searches for body, you know? But that's Ephesians 4. That's Ephesians 4. Why do we need to be unified? Why? What's the point? It's so much easier just to be opinionated and like not like people and not get along and choose to do our own thing because it's a lot easier. It really is. So why be unified? Because Christ needs to be lifted up above the earth. Christ is the head. We're the body. I just don't see a way that a head can sit on top of a neck that's lying on the floor, that's supposed to be attached to a chest that's way back there, that's supposed to be moving around with legs and arms that don't, I can't even find them right now. A body that's unified, a body that comes together, is a body that is strong enough to support the head. How can we lift up the head without legs? Right? I mean, it's a much shorter head that way. But how can we do that? Jesus said, if I'll be lifted up, I'll draw all people to me. If I will be lifted up, I will draw all people into me. Looking at Ephesians 4, one of the things that I was mentioning yesterday in men's group, and don't get me wrong on this, I need to clarify this. I'm not saying that outreach is bad. Okay? Outreach is wonderful. Outreach is amazing. But I'm saying, let's also not neglect inreach. And by inreach, I mean it's wonderful to find those who don't know Jesus yet and to introduce him to them as the Spirit leads. But But what I'm getting in Ephesians 4 is we speak the truth in love and we grow together to be like Christ in every way. He's the head and the whole body depends upon him. For us as a body to choose to be in disagreement with another part of the body means that, I'm sorry, there are people who don't get reached. There are people who don't get reached. Jesus said, if I'm lifted up by a body that's strong enough to support me, then I'll draw all people unto me. House divided against itself will fall, right? A body divided against itself can't support the head. And if the head doesn't get supported and lifted up, then all people don't get drawn. Some people do, and that's a beautiful, wonderful, amazing thing, but that's not the goal. The goal isn't some. We don't settle for some. We want all the things that Jesus has promised. And how do we get that? Well, we take on Jesus' motivation. The end game. The whole reason Jesus came was because he was operating in the ministry of reconciliation. People are separated from the Father. And Jesus came so that they would no longer be separated. Right? The end game is unity. The end game is unity. And so turn real quickly to John 17, verse 20 through 23. I'm going to turn there too, because that will help me to know what you're looking at. So while you're turning to John 17, 20 through 23, and again, I'm not telling you things that you haven't heard before, but I feel like what I'm supposed to be doing this morning is to bring a reminder and a focus onto the motivation of Jesus, the reason we do what we do, and how the works that we do for God work together with the purpose of unity that he has for the earth. So hopefully we'll get that done. While you're turning to John 17, 20 through 23, Jesus gives out the Great Commission in a couple places, but in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and he says, go, make disciples of all the nations. In Timothy, we're encouraged to go and preach the word and exhort and rebuke and correct and all of those kinds of things. The things that we do for Jesus are wonderful. And they're more wonderful if we do it with the heart Jesus wants us to have. So let's take a look at John 17, 20 through 23, where Jesus, who's still doing this today, is praying to the Father on our behalf. Saying, I pray not only for these followers who are with me now, but also for those who will believe in me because of their teaching. Father, I pray that all who believe in me can be one. You are in me, and I am in you. And I pray that they can also be one in us. Because then, I'm a grammar guy. I really like if-then statements. These are wonderful things. So then the world will believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me. I gave them this glory so that they can be one. Ever wonder why God pours out his glory? There it is. I gave them this glory so that they could be one. So that they could be unified. Glory is the glue that holds us together. Just as you and I are one. Verse 23, I will be in them and you will be in me. So they will be completely one. And then the world will know that you sent me. And that you loved them just as you loved me. Unity. Integrity of the body. Results in a head that gets lifted up. And all the world seeing. So the last couple of Fridays, God has been doing some really wonderful things in worship. And it's just, I look at this and I think, wow, this is just a microcosm of what the body, I think, is supposed to be doing, right? How many of you come regularly on Fridays? Joe's like, I'm always playing guitar on Fridays. Yeah, Megan's always playing keys. If you come on Fridays, you know that almost all the time, at some point or another in the service, we encourage everybody just to come on up to the front, just kind of pack it in. There's something really wonderful, just physically, about standing in a crowd of people and you're all singing the same thing, Or even if you're not singing the same thing, you're all singing whatever you're singing together. It's awesome. When I think about the unity of the body, I think, yes, we've got a lot of different voices in the body. We've got a lot of different ideas, a lot of different things that are, you know, that we do naturally. But when we are willing to get to the point of humility where we can think, okay, I know the thing that I want to do in this moment, but I think God's got something a little bit better as I join myself to someone else. So the thing that I want to do, I know I can do in when it's just you and me, God. But now that I've joined myself to another worship expression with some other believers, I want to make sure that we are all collectively doing the thing that you want us to do. So what role can I play in what you want us to do? And on Friday nights, we come together and we worship. And, you know, it's one of those things that if you don't belong to the church, it would look really silly. You know, there are some things that we say that if you're not part of the church, they're just weird. Like in the men's meeting yesterday, somebody was talking about something that happened. And it was like, you know, somebody was talking about blowing the shofar during Friday night service, which didn't physically happen. Nobody actually blew the shofar during Friday night service. And so one of the guys said, wait, I was at Friday night service. When did the shofar get blown? And the guy says, oh, no, it was in the spirit. And all of us in the room are like, oh. That makes no sense to anybody who doesn't understand what it is. Oh, yeah, you remember when the shofar was blown and like, oh, that wind came in through the back door? Wait, I was there. That didn't happen. No, it was in the spirit. Oh, right. Good. Yeah. Gotcha. We do weird things that are cool. But I don't know what happened. Where was I before I went out of that? Unity of the body. Fridays. Thank you. All right. So we're all together on Fridays. And the last couple of Fridays, it's been really beautiful, really amazing. We get together and we just release not even a song, just a sound, which if you're not concerned with the spirit of it, actually gets weird and a little tedious after a while. But if you're tapped into the spirit of what's going on, it's life-changing. It's amazing. It's amazing because God's not looking at the things we're looking at in the natural. God's looking at the heart. So as we turn our hearts together to him in unity, and we just begin to, you know, some people are singing in tongues. Some people are singing, you know, just la, 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 la. Some people are like, ah, you know, don't stand next to them. Some people are just like, you know, just speaking in tongues or they're you know, they're just worshiping in their own way. We got like 6 or 7 different keys going on and, you know, a couple of different languages, but we're all together. And even though our bodies are doing slightly different things, our hearts are all turned together saying, Lord, we're making an offering together to you. It's not necessarily what I would do if I were by myself, but I realize that I am tied together in an expression with a group of believers, and the sum of this is so much greater than its parts, Lord. So I join together with them in unity, and all right, I'm just going to bypass my brain, and I let, you don't have to sing right now. And we just sing. And you can feel another you know weird thing if you don't belong to the church. You can feel in your spirit things start to swell and raise and grow. And one thing feeds another. And so we start out at one particular volume and one particular intensity, but then the Spirit of God begins to sing out through us all as an individual and join us all together. And it's like all of a sudden doesn't take long before it feels like, you know, you're like at a soccer match and you're like, oh, you know, you're like Brazil or something. And you're just like, ah, just all in. And I got to say, if you haven't been here on Fridays, you need to stop by. You need to drop in because there's breakthrough that's happening in people's lives. And it's so cool to me to see this. It's not just people aren't coming in and saying, oh man, I really need some prayer. I just need you to lay hands on me. I want to focus on my need right now. Can y'all just all gather around me and just pray? There's times for that. But sometimes there's just a time that, yes, I've got a need, but I'm going to put that on the back burner because I'm going to seek God. And when I seek him, he'll add all things to me. I've said this before worship so many times. Your breakthrough rides in on worship. If you're wanting something to break through in your life, if you're wanting something to break through in your life, worship the Lord. And if you want to experience massive breakthrough, join together that worship expression with some other people. There's nothing better. I swear. Man. So the end game for Jesus is unity. And so one last thing that was kind of on my heart to share. Along the lines of Jesus's mission, one of the reasons that he was here and still is here in us is to bear witness to the truth. To bear witness to the truth. To be a light to the world and show people that they don't have to live in darkness. One thing that's been really heavy on my heart lately, and I'm throw that out there, is that it's really easy for us in times of crisis, or when we see a preponderance of things that are maybe indicating to us that things aren't going well, things aren't lacking. You know, we continue to pray for the nation of France. Continue. The brothers and sisters in France, and that country is in need of the Lord and his healing. There are families in need of the healing that only the Holy Spirit can provide. Continue to pray for nations like Turkey that are going through a massive time of unrest. Pray for nations in South America that are experiencing severe economic and health troubles and crises, nations in Africa. Continue to keep that global perspective and keep these nations in prayer. And while we're doing that, remember that God has given us the ministry of reconciliation, and the Jesus in us still wants to speak truth. The Jesus that's inside of us still wants to remind people about light. The Jesus that is in us still wants to encourage people that there is a life, and it is a life more abundant. And as much as I love, I like, you know, being on social media and seeing stuff that's going on and hearing people talk around. It's important for us in times of crisis, like what our nation and the world around seems to be experiencing. It's important to us to remember that there is hope, that darkness is losing. And this sounds mean, but if we just sympathize with a problem, but we never even approach that we know that there's a solution, then we are partnering with dissension. There is truth. There is hope. He is Jesus. He is the light of the world. There is grace and glory. There is goodness in the world. And if we, you know, if we get into our, as So, because we have the Spirit of God inside of us, our words, our actions are powerful. They are powerful. And so I want to just mention this and just make us all aware on a Sunday afternoon now. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And he's given us all authority in heaven and earth. Dang. Seriously. Right? Like Aladdin. Like phenomenal cosmic power, itty bitty living space. God has given you, think about this. God is either brilliant and knows what he's doing, or he is severely mistaken about us. Right? I don't think he's severely mistaken about us. God has given you the ministry of reconciliation, and he's given you, along with him, all authority in heaven and earth to declare, to establish, to build up, to tear down what needs tearing down. And by the way, what needs tearing down is never people. so to come into, are there problems in the world? Yes. That's a fact. There are problems in the world. And it's okay to acknowledge the problem, but it's not okay to come into agreement that there's a problem without offering a solution. Now, we have the ministry of reconciliation. We have all authority under heaven. And so our words and our actions, they matter. They matter. So if we find ourselves being concerned about doing his work, but we don't have in mind, but the end game is unity, to draw all people together, then we've missed the point. Then we missed it. Lord, I just want to make disciples of all nations. But are you wanting them all to be one? I haven't thought about that. Well, think about it. You know, because it's really easy for us, if we don't have unity and reconciliation in mind, it's really easy for us to offer an opinion, offer something of ourselves, and people assume it carries the stamp of God because of our relationship with him. We need to be very, very diligent. I feel like this is starting to become a downer, so let me make it better. If we find ourselves, I paid Ricky $20 yesterday to say that. So if we find ourselves in a situation where we think we're doing his work, right? We're doing something out of the best of intentions. We're saying something out of the best of intentions. We're getting into an argument with somebody with the best of intentions. They need to be fixed because they're wrong, you know. If we find ourselves doing that and we don't have anywhere in our grid the heart of Jesus as we're doing it, if we don't have anywhere in our grid that God wants that person, that nation, that group to be enlightened and drawn to him by love, if we don't have in our mind that it's his kindness that draws us to repentance, and yet we're going forth and doing things in his name. You know, I did all these things in your name. I never knew you. Because he knows us when we're one in heart with him. I was never intimately involved with you. That's hard. I never want to hear that. Oh my Lord. Yeah, that's scary. That'll wake you up at night thinking, he never knew me. But in Jesus, I just want to encourage us this morning. In Jesus, what do we have? We have hope. We have assurance. We have protection. We have provision. We have access to all knowledge, all wisdom. We have access to anything that it is that God wants to pour out upon the earth. And we're his expressly designated vessel to pour that stuff out. As we open up ourselves to him, say, Lord, use me. Lord, pour through me. Then the Spirit of God comes, pours through us, and we become a vessel through which the world is healed. Because as Jefferson Bethke mentioned, darkness is losing. Darkness is losing. And darkness will continue to lose as long as we recognize that we have hope in Jesus. And the same Jesus that saved us, the same Jesus that healed whatever affliction we have, is the same Jesus that we have to offer a hurting world who needs to be reconciled to him. So, yeah, it's our commission. I want to close with this. It's our commission to disciple people in such a way that they recognize the person and the heart of Jesus, and they know without a doubt that they have him too. That they have him too. We release people to do the work of the Father that serves the motivation of the Father, which has always been unity and reconciliation. Bringing everyone together. Bringing everyone together. So I want to have us close by trying something on a Sunday that is normally just kind of reserved for a Friday. Is that okay? Yay. I'm so glad you're in agreement right now. I want for us, you know, if unless you're like laid out and the Holy Spirit is just like hit you with a hammer or something, come on up to the front. Come on up. Let's join up together. Hey, Megan, can you come on up? Where's Megan? There she is. She's standing behind people. Is, no, never mind. It's terrible. Oh. Yeah, those of you who are here on Fridays, help out. Help to organize this drill. So come on up. We're going to make... Do you trust me? Good. Those of you who have never met me before, you can trust me. I promise. I promise. And I'm telling you, this won't take long. This won't take long. Yeah, we can just fill in. I'm not a tyrant. You can just kind of, you know, work it around. So we can make a circle around the front. If there's no more room for a circle, then come on in, fill this place up. We're just gonna hang out together for a few minutes. Now, yeah, come on up. Make some room. Somebody Cary Grant. Ah, Cary Grant. That's funny. Yeah, come on up. I know that this is unusual for a Sunday morning, for a church, you know, we were supposed to be respectable and all that, but what the heck? David said, I'll be more undignified than this, so let's get just a little bit more undignified than we were about 5 minutes ago. All right? What key are we in? We're in the key of A. For anyone, yeah, that's Cheryl's key. So what we're going to do, what I encourage people to do a lot on Fridays, closing your eyes probably helps, because the more you open your eyes, the more you take in stuff around you and you're processing stuff with your brain. And we just want to bypass our brain just for a minute. That's why we're not going to sing a song that we all know, that we all heard before. Thanks, Joe. That's why we're not even concerned about a song at all. God doesn't see as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance. Man looks for, okay, what are the words on the screen? What are we singing? What are we doing? I want to know what to do. I'm going to encourage you right now. You know what to do. Your spirit is alive and knows how to reach out to God. And all we're going to do is just give that a voice. Now, once again, you may be speaking out in tongues or in whatever language is your natural language. You might be, there's a mic. You might be humming, you might be singing something, la, 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 you know, whatever it is. But here's what we're going to do. There's creative power in sound. God created everything with sound waves. And he's allowing us to partner with him to create things upon the earth. So what we're going to do is just release a sound. And I just always tell people this, just breathe in and breathe out worship. And that's all we're going to do. We're just going to take a few minutes. And I believe that as we do this, the Spirit of God is moving through this place. There's breakthrough that happens. Lord, we just offer up this time. We bypass our will and our own agenda and the thing that we think is really good to do, the thing that we think is cool, or the thing we think is acceptable. And we join in with the people to our right, our left, in front, and behind. And we collectively, Lord, offer up to you a sound of praise. So breathe in and breathe out worship. Just continue that. Together with you today.